one more time. You know it now. Here we go. Thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has my head. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks.
Guys in the sound room, please forgive me. I left my lapel in my office, and so crazy Sunday morning sometimes. But anyway, good to be here. Good to see you. Hope everybody's doing good. And you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be here. This is our Thanksgiving service this morning. And, of course, tonight at 5 o'clock will be our Thanksgiving dinner. And have a great time together down there. Of course, gathered around, tables full of food. And we'll mention a couple verses tonight down there and give people opportunity, time to testify if they would like, to share some things that they're thankful for. And we'll do that tonight. So we're looking forward to those things this evening. And let me mention a couple things this morning before we pray and move forward in the service. But you may notice that Brother Don and Sister Carla are back with us. And this was something that they had to do. They flew back to Peru, came right back. I believe they flew in on Friday night, something like that. And Brother Don had a CT scan, and the doctor gave him a call and said that the numbers are kind of high, and so they would like to see him. So he's having a stress test on Tuesday, I believe, and then the consultation will be on December 4th. So that's why he and Miss Carla are here. So let's just lift them both up in prayer during this time. And we serve a great God, and we have great doctors, and so there's no doubt that Brother Don will be just fine. But let's do lift him up in prayer this morning. And Brother Jeff Hodges had his surgery on Friday, and he's home recovering. So thank you for your prayers on that. He's doing well. And I think before he's fully recovered, I believe I heard that it's going to be a few months. But I'm sure he'll be back to church before then and back doing everyday things of life. But it'll be a little while. I believe it took around 4 hours for that surgery. And under anesthesia, that's a pretty good while. But we're praying for Brother Jeff and Miss Sharon, his helpmate this morning. So remember that. And Son had surgery this week. And so we good to see him this morning. Also, let's remember Miss Pat Eccles spoke with Johnny this past week. She was going for a checkup, and of course, her arm being broke. And he said once again, he said he's ready for her to be healed because there's work to do at the house. And so, I just love talking to them. They're just so fun. But remember her in that recovery process. And hey, I heard one time that when you break a bone, heals back is stronger than it was before it was broke. So and there's a message in that. But let's remember this. Miss Connie Norton, who's at home with her heart issues, remember her. Brother James Townsend, he's here this morning, but he was down last week. And good to see you. Well enough to come back this morning, brother. So I've been praying for you. I do want to say there's many prayer requests that are mentioned on Wednesday nights. And people, you share them with me, and I want you to know that those prayer requests are important to me. Although I don't mention the Wednesday night prayer request every single one on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, but those are wrote down at home, and they are called out before the Lord. So I just want you to know that those prayer requests are important, and I do pray for every prayer request that you put out on Wednesday nights. Yes. Hey, what you got?
I don't know if you want to hear this. Before you get into the serious business, I know as you walk in the door, you're going to sell it. I hope the sermon, I hope the
let's continue on this morning. And thank you for your concern, brother. Life as a preacher and a pastor is a little bit different than sitting and listening. And but anyway, I appreciate those who care. Where was I at? Yeah. Let's remember tonight our Thanksgiving fellowship, and remember no midweek service this week. Spend time with your families, and just enjoy the blessings of God. And so that'll be a great time on Thanksgiving. But again, no Wednesday night service. All right, let's pray and get back spiritual once again. Father, we love you today. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for humor in the house of God. God, I just thank you, Lord, for those whom you've touched recently. Thank you, God, for those who you've allowed to come through surgery and who's recovering. And for those, Lord, who have appointments coming up, we pray, such as Brother Don, Lord, in his heart condition, I pray that you would just touch him and allow the doctors to proceed in whatever they need to do to get those numbers right. You are the great physician. You are the one who is in charge of everything. And so we trust you this morning with all of these situations. Father, I pray that you would bless the service, the singing, the preaching, the time of invitation. Lord, everything that's said and done, may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our heart.
Amen. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Turn over with me to page 139, and in just a moment we're going to sing a song that we've sung many times. But I wonder this morning, what are you thankful for? We talked about it in Sunday school in a pretty good detail. But of course, all of us would say, I'm thankful for my salvation, and I surely am. That's the greatest gift that God's ever given, is to be born into the family of God. And I'm thankful. Of course, we would all say, I'm thankful for my wife, my husband, my spouse, and I am thankful for that. We would also say, well, I'm thankful for my family, and of course we are. I'm thankful, and I'm very blessed with a wonderful family, and I'm so thankful for that. But we also said, I'm thankful for those friends that you can call and you can count on, that they're going to pray for you. You know what I love? When I text someone or I send a message to someone and say, I've got a prayer request, and they say, praying now. Boy, that means something to me, to know that someone's praying for me and they're praying for me now, because many times we go through so much. But I thought this morning, and I'm thankful for my salvation. Choir, if you'll stand, and church, if you'll stand with me, but I am so thankful for Calvary. Had it not been for Calvary, had it not been for Jesus being willing, in a few months or a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Christmas. And we're, you know, the gospel, we say, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But had it not been for a virgin birth, had it not been for Jesus being willing to come and go to Calvary, where would we be? We'd all be lost today if it were not for Calvary. So can we sing the first verse and the last verse of At Calvary? Listen to the words this morning.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing God it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. My burden so found favor.
thankful for his mercy and for his grace. Thankful for his love. Amen. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord. If you're visiting with us, you're a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. We truly do. And some are visiting with us by Facebook, and we're thankful for that avenue as well. Some are just unable to get to the house of God. So I'm thankful for Facebook that they can log on with us and enjoy the service as well. So for those of you that are joined by Facebook, we thank you for checking in with us this morning here at Calvary. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And we're going to have a couple more songs this morning. And then we'll turn it over to Brother Justin here in just a few moments. But please be much in prayer for the day. It'll be a great service tonight. Great time of fellowship downstairs as we enjoy the Thanksgiving meal downstairs this evening at 5 o'clock. So please be here for that if you can. And also, again, no Wednesday night service. And I just want to tell you from my family to yours, happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a wonderful time. Brother Don, I'm sorry for what has gone over in the past couple of days, but we're thankful to be able to have you here for Thanksgiving. And the Lord knows all about it. He's the great orchestrator of our very soul. And God knows, and he's got a plan. He's working it out for your good. And we're so thankful for that. But it is great to see you here this morning in the house of the Lord with us. And there'll be no choir practice this evening, of course, but we will really get on it over the next few weeks. So we've got, I believe, a great program planned for this year, and we really need your prayers. And some new songs. We're going to try and do some new songs this year, so you'd be much in prayer for the choir. If you've been looking to get on board, it'd be a great time to jump on, because we got some things ahead of us in the next few weeks. So please be much in prayer for us. But let's go to the Lord. And a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service this morning. Brother Don, would you lead us this morning?
Thank you.
as I struggle alone. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see.
Hey, it's Kimori, and today we're going to talk about how to sew a ladder stitch. The ladder stitch is one of my favorite hand sewing stitches and is great for any time you need to close a hole in something, especially plushies, and you don't want the raw edge to show. Usually when sewing a ladder stitch, you would want a thread that matches the fabric. However, I'm going to be using a white thread so it'll show up a little bit better on camera. So start by just inserting the thread into the needle and knotting the end just like you would for any other hand sewing project. Then you're going to open up the project and you're going to insert the needle from the underside of the fabric. You can see that the fabric is already naturally wanting to roll inward because of the seams on either side. And this makes it a lot easier for us for the actual sewing process. So you're just going to take the needle and pick up a little bit of the material near where the folded area is. Then pick up a little bit of the material where you want the other side to fold. Continue this process and you can see where the stitch got the name from. It's starting to look like a ladder. Then you pull the thread tight and you can see it's starting to close the plushie without, well, there's a little bit of stuffing sticking out, but you can't see the thread and it blends in very nicely with the seam from earlier. Continue this process until the hole is closed. Then, going to knot. Your thread, do one more stitch to bury the end, trim off the excess, and that's how to sew a ladder stitch. For more cosplay sewing tutorials, please subscribe, and thank you very much for watching.
Morning. Make your way to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. I want to read one verse this morning, and that is verse number 14. Jeremiah, chapter number 17, and verse number 14 this morning. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to read this one verse. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. But I pray this morning we would take a time out and just relax ourselves into your hands, knowing that you're in control. Lord, we give you this 1 hour this morning. Let us not be like the disciples who could not stay awake for 1 hour during the most intimate and important time when you was in the garden making your way toward the cross. Lord, help us catch what you want us to catch this morning. Let us be changed by the time that we leave. We love you today, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Jeremiah chapter number 17. Notice, if you would, verse number 14. Jeremiah 17, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. I want to call your attention this morning to one word in this verse, and that is the first word, the word heal. Heal. That word heal in Hebrew means rawfall, R-A-W-F-A-W, rawfall, heal. But the meaning of that word, it means to mend by stitching. To mend by stitching. Through the years, I've had to have some things stitched. Being one who wears suits, I've had to get things tailored a time or two in my years in ministry. Sometimes I've had to have my sleeves taken up. Sometimes I've had to have my pants legs taken up. And many, 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 many times I've had to have my waist let out. When it comes to wearing suits, sometimes it's a headache wearing suits. But I've had my experience with tailors. And by the way, a tailor is a male who does the seamstress work. And actually, the word seamstress is a female person who does the work. A good seamstress or tailor can not only stitch suits to size, but many kinds of fabric. Curtains and blankets, flags, and even toys such as stuffed animals. The little girl one day had a teddy bear that her brother just ripped to shreds. She brought it to her mother, and her mother stitched it back up together. A seamstress or a tailor is not only a person that gives stitches, but doctors give stitches. Doctors give stitches. There are some in the house today who've had their experience with stitches lately. I think Hassan's one of them. And people have surgery and accidents happen at times. Then the doctor carefully stitches things up. So a seamstress or tailor is not the only person that gives stitches. Doctors do. Something else I've always admired, the stitches in a baseball. Tightly sewed together and ready for the hardest pounding. Batting gloves need stitching, and uniforms need stitching as well. Stitching takes place when something is apart. Then the thread brings it all back together again. The stitching job is only as strong as the thread is strong. This morning, of course, I'm not here to preach on stitching suits or surgeries or baseballs or curtains. But I want to call our attention to the fact that God stitches. God gives stitches. God's hand can pull our lives back together that has been torn by unpleasant circumstances, bad choices, and things that have happened beyond our control. We serve a heavenly tailor who knows how to take the pieces and stitch them back together again. And He does this tenderly. He does this carefully, patiently, by His love, power, and grace. This morning, for a few moments, I want to preach on this subject. God can stitch things up. God can stitch things up. If you're here this morning and your life is torn apart or you feel like it's coming apart, God can be your personal tailor. But if you give Him the pieces and allow Him to do His job, He can make your life better and give you purpose for your pain. I'd like to share a few things from this verse this morning about Jeremiah and his life. And I want to do my best to compare it to our lives and draw some points out of it. God can stitch things up. Number one, in verse 14, we see the torn. The torn. Notice what the scripture says. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Jeremiah's heart has been It has been torn, it has been ripped, it has been wounded. He was wounded mentally and emotionally and spiritually even at how things transpired in his life. We have a prophet of the Lord who has a torn heart. The Lord had called Jeremiah to be a prophet among the people of God and neighboring nations. In chapter 1, verse number 5, we see that the Lord had a special calling upon his life. And so we know that he was to bring a message of judgment, repentance, but also forgiveness and restoration. But when he began to preach this message of judgment and repentance, his message was rejected by the masses. He was ridiculed and mocked, and even imprisoned and thrown in jail. This was a terrible go at the man that God chose. And yet it was in the plan of God for these things to happen. Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations, where he lamented over the spiritual condition that Israel was in. Jeremiah even reached a place in his ministry and life where he says, I will not even mention the name of God anymore. He was so distraught and discouraged at how things transpired. And so he's known as the weeping prophet, one who has a chip on his shoulder, one who wore his heart on his sleeves. He would be quick to cry over the condition of his own life, but the lives of others. And so he laments several chapters in his other book. We see in the book of Lamentations, if you would turn there for just a moment, Lamentations chapter number 4. In verse number 1, he says, how is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. We see the heart cry of Jeremiah over the people of God and even the temple. He says the people of God are like gold, but they have become dim. Talking about the temple as well, most commentators say. But the people of God have erred from the faith. They have given in to sin and they started to worship false idols. He says, your gold is dimming. Now, I like gold this morning. I like silver. I like white gold. But there's something about gold when, at least as the Bible gives it here, how the gold has become dim. It's not as pretty as it is when it's shining. And so he says that you're not a pretty people anymore. You're dim and you're going dark because of your actions and lifestyle. And so we see that there in Lamentations 4 in verse number 1. Back a chapter in Lamentations 3 verse 48 through 52, we see the weeping prophet weeping over Israel and his own enemies. In verse number 48, the Bible says, mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chase me sore like a bird without cause. So we see Jeremiah here whose heart is torn and he's weeping and talking about the people of God and he's talking about the enemies who are on his track. Jeremiah's heart has been ripped and torn. The verse number 49, he says, mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Verse 51 says, my eye affecteth my heart. What is it that we're witnessing in our lives, in the life of others, that is affecting our heart in either a good way or a bad way? We witness all kinds of things, and the truth of the matter is the things that we witness does have a profound impact upon our hearts. So mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. So we see here that Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is weeping over Israel and his enemies. But also in chapter number 3, verse number 1, we see a set of harsh chain of events. In verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day long. Jeremiah talking about the Lord and how he feels. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. We have a chain of hard events here. Jeremiah talking about his life and his situation and how after God called him into the ministry and he started to preach and he started to prophesy and give the instructions God gave, the people turned against him. The people talked about him. Again, he was imprisoned and thrown in jail. So in the midst of all of this, Jeremiah experiences a torn heart that needed stitching. This morning you may be experiencing some of the same things. You may feel like God is against you or God has thrown you in a dark place because he's mean or angry. You may be at a place in your life where things are tough and things are rough. You may be at a place in your life where mentally and emotionally and all the other things in life has caused you to be ripped or torn within your heart. And listen, you just might need to have your heart stitched this morning. I want to say that we serve a God who can stitch things up. And so back in our verses, Jeremiah chapter number 17, we see the torn. He says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. But number two this morning, not only do we see the torn, but number two, we see the thought. The thought. What do you mean, the thought? He says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. We have here Jeremiah's thought or his prayer for help. He wants to be healed. He wants to be fixed. Jeremiah wants God to stitch his life up back together. And so he cries out, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." Does anybody need healing this morning? Whether physically, emotionally, spiritually, some of these other areas in life. Does somebody need saving this morning? Maybe somebody needs to be saved so that when they die, they can go to heaven. Or maybe you are already saved and you just need God's intervention in your circumstance. God can do these things for us. He can patch us up. He says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." So who does he call for help from? Who is it that he calls upon? Well, he calls upon the Lord. He says, "Heal me, O Lord." He calls upon Jehovah, the self-existent one. He calls upon the all-powerful one, the one who sees all, the one who knows all, the one who is everywhere at the same time. He doesn't call on a friend. Why doesn't he call on a friend? Because there are no friends to be found right now. He doesn't call upon family. Why doesn't he call upon family? Because there's no family to be found right now. Keep in mind, Jeremiah has a torn heart. He's been in prison. He is just pained with all of his circumstances, and he calls out to God for help. We have a tendency to call on God when we run out of options, don't we? Well, when I go over here to get help and there's no help to be found, and I go over here to get help and there's no help to be found, and when I run out of money and I run out of resources and I'm depressed, discouraged, I'm even despairing of even life and even thinking about taking my life even in some cases, then we call out for the Lord. Let us calling out for the Lord be our first thing we do and not the last thing we do. Let not the Lord be a spare tire that we're coasting through life, and then when we have a flat, we take them out and put them on and then go back our business. But no, let Jesus have the preeminence in our life, the first place in our life. Let him be the first one we talk to in the morning. Let him be the last one we talk to before bed. Let us be faithful praying to God, diving in his word, so that when things do get bad, we know that he's hearing our prayers. In the book of Isaiah, it talks about that our sins have separated us from God. And you go down to pray, but it cannot hear your prayer because of sin. And so let us have a good, close, clean relationship with God Almighty so that when we do get in a jam, he'll help us. But we do have a tendency this morning to call on God when we run out of options, don't we? Well, there's nobody else to help me, so God... We have a lot of people who go to jail, and they call it jailhouse religion. Why? When they're in jail, they're calling on God, and they're carrying their Bible to Bible time. And probably even talking to others about spiritual things. And I'm not making a blanket statement that everybody that goes to jail and says they got saved, it's jailhouse religion and it rubs off. But a lot of them do rub off. They just call upon God because they're scared and they're in jail and they know their life is going to be over. But when they get back out of jail, a lot of times it's the same old thing, the same old vicious cycle. And then they get caught again. They go to jail, they go, "Oh God." And then they get out and they're living life again. They get caught up again. They go to jail, "Oh God." But then there's some who go to jail, and God really gets their attention. And they truly get born again. And they leave jail. They're released from jail. And they're serving God and loving the Lord and being a witness to him. I've got several friends who've been incarcerated who got saved in jail and left jail. And they're still serving Jesus today. I thank God for Brother Carl Durant, who painted our hallway up here and downstairs, which I'm still fascinated over, still gloating over, still loving it, looking at it on my phone. I got pictures of it. Thank you, Brother Carl. Brother Carl goes to the prisons or the jails on Thursday to preach to inmates. And he's always bringing report back, or at least that week. He's, "Brother Justin, you know, I went and I preached, and this happened. This one gave their life to the Lord. This one's really struggling. And, you know, you just got to give it simply to these men because they're in hard places. They don't understand a lot of stuff about the Bible." And so that was amazing. That was so encouraging to me and inspiring to me that those kind of things were taking place in jail. But you see, many times in life we get into these places and then we call on God when he's the last resort. Let him be the first resort. But saying those things, Jesus is near and he is ready to help even those who call on him as a last resort. Don't turn there, but in Isaiah 59:1, the Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that he cannot hear." Isaiah 55:6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him, call ye upon him while he is near." This morning, call upon him if you're heart and life has been torn apart by sin. His hand isn't so short that it can't reach you and save you and forgive you, the Bible says. And his ear isn't so heavy that it cannot hear you. He wants to hear your prayers. He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you of your sin. Call upon him this morning if circumstances and dilemmas have torn through your heart and life. It may not be an issue of sin. It just may be an issue of circumstances that are tearing you apart. And I'm glad we can call upon the Lord with both sin issues or circumstance issues. Psalm 34 and verse number 6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Listen, you've got to be poor before you can be made rich. Those that do not know that they need a doctor do not get healed. And this morning we are sick through some kind of circumstance. We are battered and bruised and we all need help this morning. And we got to come to him in our poverty of spirit, our impoverished emotions and all of those things. And just as a poor man said, "Lord, I've gone as far as I can go. I've exhausted all of my resources." And you too would be that poor man crying unto the Lord. And the Lord, the Bible says, heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now, does that mean that if we cry out to the Lord, he's going to save us from our troubles? He's going to change our troubles? Not necessarily. Because that word saved, it means to preserve. God has a way of preserving us in the fire when things are bad and things are wrong and we want to quit and we want to give up. If we cry out to him and say, "God, I can't do it. Only you can." Then God will hear our prayer. He has a way of preserving us. Does anybody need preservation in here other than me? I need a little preservation from God. I need a little bit of grace the days that I live and the things that I do. I need some mercy. I need some grace. I need some preservation. Am I the only one who needs preservation? So we see that there. And we're talking about the thought of Jeremiah. He was praying to God that God would stitch his life back up. Again, you may be here and be in shreds this morning. Really listen to what I'm saying. Your life may be in pieces. Quit trying to pick up the pieces and straighten it out yourself. Give the pieces to the one who's the puzzle master, the one who can make patchwork, the one who is capable, who's our heavenly tailor. He will fix you up, but you got to let him. I'm not naive to think this morning that everybody in here has it together and all your life is just one beautiful quilt, you know. We've all got pieces missing, don't we? We all got blemishes and spots. And so I wonder this morning if somebody here along with me would say, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." He's here. He's ready to help. Psalm 27, verse number 10 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." What a blessing it is that we're never forsaken by Jesus, our great God Almighty. And so the point of point number two is that God will stitch us up if we ask Him to. Let me mention one more. Not only do we see the torn out of Jeremiah 17:14, we see the thought, but lastly we see the thanks. Hang in there with me. We're going to be landing the plane in a few minutes. But this is just as important as both points. The thanks. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise." With a torn heart, Jeremiah says, "I'm going to praise You." With a life that's in shreds and people who have betrayed him, he said, "God, I'm not healed yet, but I'm going to praise You in advance." Jeremiah here gives God praise in his circumstance. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, to a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just listen to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you." The verse doesn't say, "For everything, give thanks." I don't know about you, but you know, when the car tire does blow out, I don't say, "Woo, thank You, Lord." Man, I've been waiting on this to happen all week long. And I'm like, "Lord, help me." I don't know about you, but when you get bad news from the doctor, I'm not, "Woo, thank You, Lord. Got to go back to the doctor 3 weeks in a row." Or when something happens at home, your washing machine or dryer goes out, and say, "Praise the Lord. We're going to put us up a line in the backyard. We're going to wash our clothes and hang it out to dry." No. Now, if you want to go live off the grid and go back to pioneer days, you know, that'd be okay. And I've been thinking about that a whole lot, actually. I love just go move somewhere and live off the grid. You know, the refrigerator. Oh, don't let the refrigerator go out, Lord. Oh, man. Oh, I'll tell you what. Our refrigerator went out a year ago. And I called Whirlpool. And they claimed they were going to replace it. But they said, "Okay." They said, "You know, we can't replace it. But, you know, you pay this X amount of dollars and we'll send you out another one." And look, I'm not saying this for anybody to feel bad for my family. God has blessed us. But we ate out of an ice box for 4 months. We did. They stalled. Look, I went to the Grands, my favorite little convenience store. They got breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love it there. I went to the Grands at least 3 or 4 times a week buying bags of ice. And we ate out of a little styrofoam ice chest in my garage for like 3 or 4 months. We did. Don't feel bad. I'm not trying to paint a bad picture. If I wanted to go spend a bunch of money on a refrigerator, I guess we could have managed to do that somehow. But I didn't praise God during that. I mean, not at first I didn't. Now, after a while, it was actually pretty neat. Ice cold stuff with on ice. But I didn't praise God for that. You don't praise God for stuff like that. And we don't praise God for everything, but we are called upon from God to praise God in everything. Praising God in everything keeps us humble. It keeps our gratitude level high by finding the good in even bad situations. What is God doing? And so this verse in 1 Thessalonians doesn't say, "For everything give thanks," but "In everything give thanks." Church, the truth of the matter is this. Sometimes we just have to find our praise. Last year I preached a message on that around this time of year of finding our praise. there may be someone here this morning or watching on Facebook who is really facing something that you can't scoff at, laugh at. Listen, they don't even want to share it. It's deep. And you're hearing this verse where it says, in everything give thanks, and you're like, Brother Justin, there's just no way I can give thanks for that. And while we're commanded to, it's the will of God to do that, sometimes we just have to, we have to find our praise. Sometimes our praise in that, sometimes that season of life where we're at peace and content, sometimes it's buried. It's buried under hardships. And so we got to deal with our hardships. We've got to deal with it. We got to work our way through and get things out of our life if we possibly can through the help of the Lord. We got to find our praise. Sometimes our praise is buried under a life of sin and disobedience, and that is hindering us from fully praising the Lord because we have these things going on in our life. But you got to find your praise. There's things we've got to repent of. There's boundaries we got to put up. There's things in our life that we have to do so that we can praise the Lord. Sometimes we just have to find it. Got to find our praise. God this morning has been faithful. He has blessed. He has stood by our side when all men fled. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Listen, the Lord is worthy to be praised. And so therefore, let us find our praise if we have to. Find it. He's worthy to be praised. Let us offer unto Him the sacrifice of praise. So, Jeremiah gives thanks for what God has done, for what He's doing now, though unpleasant, in what He's going to do and can do. Jeremiah 29:11, these are the words of the Lord to the people of God from Jeremiah. Listen, very familiar verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That word expected end, or the words expected end, means future. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future. The words expected end almost means, and could possibly mean, if you stand back and look at it, it's not over with the circumstances. The people of God were in captivity. And actually the word of the Lord said through Jeremiah to the people, He says, don't be in a hurry to get out of this situation. Plant gardens, build houses. It's going to be a while before you get out of this situation. But He says, just know this, that I have thoughts of peace for you in your life, even though you're in captivity. Just know this, I have a plan. I have thoughts, not of evil, to give you a future. It's not over. There's hope. God is up to something. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. So this morning, through Jeremiah, we see thanksgiving. Heal me, O Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for Thou art my praise. Father, we love You this morning. We thank You for the message. I pray that You would just apply it to the heart that needs it the most. And Father, let us keep an attitude of praise and thanksgiving in our heart this morning as we go through the day today and even tonight at our Thanksgiving dinner. God, help us to just maintain an attitude of thanksgiving and praise within our hearts. Move during this time of invitation, Lord. If somebody needs to come pray, I pray that You would move upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you need to come pray, please come on the first verse. Feel free to come this morning. need some stitches in your life? Has the world been cruel to you and unkind? The Lord wants to help. You feel free to come while these others are coming. Anybody else? Still continuing the invitation while these are praying. There's still time this morning. Amen. Appreciate you that have responded this morning. Thank you for listening. I hope something was said or sung that was a help to you this morning. I do have an announcement to make before we close. CLU Christmas Luncheon, Calvary Ladies Union. To those who do not know, this is the time where the ladies of the church meet and have Bible study and some refreshments. So every woman is invited to this. But Sunday, December 10th, in the fellowship hall directly after the AM service. This is going to be COU for December. And also, while I'm mentioning the 10th, we're going to have our Christmas communion on the 10th, that morning. And so remember that. It's a special time. Lee Ellen will put a food sign-up sheet down front after Thanksgiving for the COU, I'm guessing, and bring a wrapped gift. See Miss Christie with questions. All right. Thank you for that. Anybody else have anything before we conclude?